Turn, if you would, to Luke's Gospel in the 19th chapter. Luke chapter 19. If you went to Sunday school, this is one of those stories you will doubtless remember being taught. Little Zacchaeus of Luke chapter 19. Then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. You know, often in the Bible, we get a little detail of where the Lord Jesus was heading or going. And it looks like that by some coincidence, he met a person on the way. You know, there was blind Bartimaeus who happened to be there. There was the woman at the well in Samaria who happened to come out at that time. What good fortune they happened to be there when Christ was walking past. And of course we know it was no good fortune at all. It was the grace of God. It was a divine appointment. And we have this evening a divine appointment in Jericho. There were many people there. There were crowds along the way. But one man in particular had an appointment he was not even really aware of. And we find out his identity, Zacchaeus, and we find out his job. Now, often we don't know what these people did. We don't know what they looked like. But Luke here has given us some details about him, which are important. They help us to understand who he is and why he does what he does. He is a chief tax collector. Now, a tax collector is not a popular person at the best of times, and Zacchaeus is not a popular man. Tax collection then really offered very little benefit to the people who were paying it. When I pay my taxation now, it is not something I particularly enjoy, but I know I get it back in healthcare, I get it back in education, and so on. Well, Roman taxes were really to pay for the emperor's palace and to pay for the soldiers who proved such an oppressive bunch of people in the land. A tax collector would typically bid for an area, and he would pay the Romans up front, and then he was given carte blanche to recollect that money and add on some more of his own. Well, not only was Jericho a very wealthy town and a centre of trade, but Zacchaeus is a chief tax collector. In other words, he has minions working for him. He is the top dog. He is the Mr. Big. If you really want to understand him, think more of an American gangster than an official of Her Majesty's Customs and Revenue. He really was, in one sense, the leader of organized crime. He would have had very big men with big hands who went round doing his job for him. And he was deeply unpopular, but he was rich. Of course he was rich. If he was able to pay the Romans up front and then recoup the money, plus rather a lot more, he was rich. And yet he was poor. Why is it that this rich man is so desperate to catch a glimpse of the rabbi that he goes to this extraordinary length, which we're told of in verse 4. He has a large house. He's got the bodyguards. He wears the bright clothes, everything you would expect of a rich man of that era. Yet deep down, he is deeply dissatisfied because when Christ comes to town, he does not stay in his home and ignore it. He has to be a part of it. The other reason that Luke tells us he is rich is because of the chapter before. Now, anybody reading this in the first century would have known he was a rich man. And Luke, of course, might be writing for us who don't really know. But the chief tax collector in a major city is bound to have a bob or two. Why does Luke feel the need to point out that he is rich? Well, not very long ago, we had the story in chapter 18 of the rich young ruler. Here is another man who, in many respects, was of a higher quality than Zacchaeus. He really is probably considered a pious individual. He keeps the commandments. I don't think he's in league with the Romans, like Zacchaeus maybe. And yet he comes to Christ and walks away. The disciples wonder how anyone can be saved. And the Lord replies, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. Look, here is a good man. He's good looking. He's handsome. He's rich. He has everything. If he can't be saved, who can? Well, in chapter 19, we have the salvation of a rich man. And he's a far worse character than the rich young ruler. He's an unpleasant character. He's a wicked man. And his evil is evident for all to see. And yet, he does not walk away. In fact, he has the Lord come into his house for tea. We're told that he sought to see who Jesus was, but in other words, he does not know much about him, but he knows there is something about this man. He cannot afford to ignore. What was it that attracted him? The Lord was not wealthy. He had no tax to pay. We also know that he was no flatterer of the rich and the powerful. And yet he's drawn to him. He's drawn to him. And you will find that no matter how much you have in life, whether you're popular, you have a lovely home, you've got a great career or a career prospect, a lovely family, that you can have all of that. And yet deep down, you will be deeply, deeply dissatisfied. Because you were meant, you were designed, you were purposed to have a relationship with God, which can only be obtained through Christ. And without it, you're empty. Zacchaeus was attracted to the Lord that day because he offered fullness to all who would believe in him. And Zacchaeus was a very, very empty man. We have the lovely detail in verse 3, he was short of stature. Does he suffer from little man syndrome? Because he is little, he has spent his life proving to others that he is tough. He's got the heavies at the door. He takes no nonsense when you can't pay your bill. Maybe. But what we do know in practical terms is that the crowd is lining the way. And Zacchaeus, for all his fine clothes, cannot see. And here is an occasion when his money doesn't work. His power doesn't work. Here is an occasion when he receives no preferential treatment. But he's not easily put off. There are some who find the Lord Jesus attractive, but they come across some difficulty or some trial, and then they go back home. Well, Zacchaeus runs ahead. Rich men don't run. This one does. And he climbs into a sycamore tree. It was a sturdy tree and its branches branch out lower to the ground, so a shorter man is able to climb up. And if you did learn about him in Sunday school, you'll see the pictures of the man in the tree. And it's all very charming, but actually, he would have looked ridiculous on that day. Animals climb trees, children climb trees. Men do not climb trees. Rich men do not climb trees, but he does. In other words, he just wants to catch a glimpse of the man who's so very different to him. He does not wear scarlet. He does not wear silk and taffeta. He teaches about sin and the forgiveness thereof. And Zacchaeus will climb a tree and run ahead. If only he can catch a glimpse of him. I imagine that although Zacchaeus was in many respects quite a feared character, he was also the butt of many jokes. And he knows that by climbing a tree just to see over the heads of other people, he will be the butt of further jokes. He can't even see through us. Look, he's having to make up for it. But the time has come in his life where he will face and accept ridicule if he can see the Lord. And he knows that the Lord is passing that way, and he climbs the tree and he waits and he watches. Verse 5, then Jesus came, he looked up. It took Zacchaeus to climb the tree, but it also took Jesus to look up. Why did he look up? The sight of a rich man hiding in the bush. He looked up because he knew he was there. He looked up because he had an appointment with him. He looked up because the Lord honoured the trouble he had gone to. There were many people either side of the road. And I doubt Jesus looked at all of them. But to the little man in the big tree, he looked up. He speaks to him even better. Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. He's gone to all that trouble to climb, and straight away he's told to come down. But it's no rebuke. Today, I must stay with you. I think this is the only occasion where the Lord invites himself. Some of you I can see thinking now to prove me wrong. I look forward to it. Let me tell you, by inviting himself, it was the greatest privilege for the host. Zacchaeus would not have invited him, for the simple reason that no self-respecting rabbi would dare to pass his threshold. He was an unclean man. Daily, perhaps, he defrauds his own people. He has dealings with the pagan Romans about how much money he can pay them. He is a nasty character. Again, we I think have little understanding of it, but if you were to go to France in the, 1945, just after it's been liberated, and consider the kind of reception a collaborator would have had from their fellow French. A Frenchman who worked for the occupying Germans in suppressing their fellow French. That is the kind of regard they would have had for him. Jesus does not wait for him to invite him, because Zacchaeus knows he should not come. Jesus therefore invites himself and bestows upon him a wonderful honour. So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. Here is a man who, though he apparently has everything, knows that what he really needs, eternal life, salvation, a right heart with God, has now come to him. And yet in verse 7 there is a reaction. We have a they. But when they saw it, they all complained. Who are they? It's not altogether clear. I think the they is the crowd who is there at the same time. These are the people who have had dealings with Zacchaeus before. They've been roughed up by his thugs. They've paid him the money for his fine clothes and his decorated home. They complain. He has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. And that's correct. We've all sinned. But that's not their point. Their point is that there are some types of sinner which are far worse than any other kind. According to the community, he is lower than the low. He is more wicked than that which is tolerated. And Jesus has demeaned himself, besmirched himself by keeping the company of such a foul man. Of course, their complaint is really aimed at the Lord himself. They attack both Christ and the tax collector for the dinner arrangements the Lord has just made. When someone follows Christ, we don't always know, at least immediately, whether it's genuine. They might profess faith in him, but time will tell if it was a real conversion or just an emotional response. Well, I think the Lord knows what is genuine and what is not, but we have evidence of it in verse 8. He stood and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord." Already he's calling him Lord. When he is your Lord, you live according to his way and not your way. When grace has really done a work in a human heart, there will be a change of behavior. there will be an alteration of attitude. Look, Lord, I give. Zacchaeus so far has never given, he's only taken. He's become a giver. Look, I give half of my goods to the poor. And if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. He goes over and above what one might expect. So everything he has, half of it he gives away, presumably to some of the people he has been defrauding. But he restores fourfold anything he obtained by false accusation. We have there a confession of sin. He has obtained his wealth dishonestly. He admits it. And he restores fourfold. And I think that principle is established in Exodus 22. A man who has had scant regard to the law of God. When he meets Jesus Christ, will now want to obey it. Now, I must say to you, this change of heart and change of behavior is not the reason for the Lord wanting to stay with him. It's the result. The Lord does not look for good people, for righteous people, and say, well, he's good, I'll stay with him. The Lord here chose the vilest man in Jericho and invited him to his home. And I put it to you that when the Lord deigned to dwell in his home, he also entered his heart. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice and opens the door, I will enter him and sup with him, and he with me. And what we have in verse 8 is the fruit of salvation, not the cause of it. Because the Lord had had the dealing with him, he changed. Now, at what point does he become a saved man? Well, I can't really tell. But what I do know is that he went to some trouble to climb that tree to see the Lord. And the Lord looked up. And he's already living now the life of a changed man. Jesus said that from the fruit of a tree, you can determine the identity of the tree. He was really talking, I think, about false teachers. But I think it applies to all of us. By their fruit, you shall know them. And by the fruit of a believer, shall you know him? No, don't get me wrong. I'm not a tenth as fruitful as I ought to be. There's more pruning required, more fruit to come. But there will be fruit. No fruit, no fruit tree. And here, in one of the darkest hearts of Jericho, we have fruit. The result of the power and the grace and the transformation of God in his heart. Jesus said to him, today, salvation has come. Wow. Salvation has come to this house because he also is a son of Abraham. and the people in the crowds who were complaining about him would have objected to the expression. He's a traitor, a collaborator. He's more at home in the company of Romans and pagans than he is with his own people, whom he abuses and extorts and blackmails. He is a wicked man. But of whom is Abraham the father? He is the father of all who believe. Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. I am not a good man, but I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that makes me too a son of Abraham. He was not saved because of his tree climbing, because of his giving back restitution for his thievery. He wasn't saved because he offered a great spread. He did all of that because somehow, he believed. I know I often refer to him. There'll be a long queue in heaven to meet him. But the thief on the cross, what did he actually believe? Did he have a complete understanding of the Trinity? I don't know. What was his view on the second coming? Unclear. But he believed. He believed that Jesus Christ was the only source of salvation. That he was a king. That he was pure and holy. And that somehow, if he obtained his favour, he too could share it. I don't know what Zacchaeus really believed. We don't come across him before, we don't come across him after. And yet the Lord himself said, today salvation has come. We might not see it written in the Bible. We may not hear the Lord himself pronounce it. But day after day on this planet, there are houses to which salvation comes. And they may not have complete, accurate understandings of theology, but they believe that Jesus Christ is worth seeing, hearing, believing. And that when he comes to town, he must not be missed or ignored. There were many people in the crowd that day who also saw him. I don't read the Lord speaking of them as he spoke of the little man in the tree. Is it because they never went to the effort? Well, they left their house, they stood by the road. And yet we do get a glimpse into their heart as well. When Jesus saves Zacchaeus, they complain. You see, they have a rather exalted view of their own relationship with God. He is sinful. We are not. One of the advantages for Zacchaeus is that he had no pretensions about being good. I wonder if one of the biggest barriers to people accepting the gospel is that they're not prepared to admit they are sinful. They're prepared to admit that other people are sinful. But like the Pharisee, they thank God they're not as bad as that tax collector. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. If you don't consider yourself lost, you will never want to be sought and saved. Zacchaeus was definitely lost at the beginning, but he was found and saved at the end. Now, this account was a long time ago, in a different country, in a different age. Zacchaeus is no longer on earth. He's long gone. But Christ continues to pass by. And still there are those who will go to any length to behold him. And to them he looks up and invites them down. And he stays with them and sups with them and pronounces salvation has come to them. The same Saviour who rescued the rich man can and will rescue you. He became a son of Abraham. He became found. He became a saved man. You've heard it before, haven't you? You've read the story dozens of times, hundreds of times, I don't know. I have. And yet I love it. Because I am Zacchaeus. I am that little man. Who deserves condemnation. But whom Christ elevates to being a son of Abraham. And the offer is there for you as well. Amen.